The only competition is you, every day being better than yesterday.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me, as always, on Twitter at RedRock_Bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today, we are looking back at Thursday's four games and then previewing a big 10 games in the NBA on Friday. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it indeed.
Let's start with the first game of the night. The Philadelphia 76ers, they lost to the Washington Wizards 119-113. I thought it would be able to be a big night for Joel Embiid. I was right. 26-21, hit his shots, 14 free throw attempts, one block, but they couldn't get the victory. There was no Josh Richardson for the Sixers, so we had Furkan Korkmaz start again, but he was once again outplayed by the painter Matisse Thybulle. Now, Thybulle had a weird line as usual, but the six assists really stand out there. That's not something he's known for. The two steals and two blocks are interesting. When Richardson comes back, he's not going to be able to get 31 minutes a night, but you have to think he's worked his way back into the rotation and can at least be a stream option for those defensive numbers. Toby Harris led the team in scoring, 33-7-3, while Simmons had 17-5-10 with three steals and a putrid 1-4 from the free throw line. Horford struggled a little bit, 11-5 in those minutes, while Korkmaz, as I mentioned, just the 8 points in his 20 minutes. For the Wizards, Flaming Mo Wagner was back. And Yan Mihinmi also made his debut to fill in those center minutes by the vacated Thomas Bryant with his foot injury. Wagner wasn't his best night. He played 26 minutes. He was in really early foul trouble. That's why the playing time was down. Plus, he couldn't hit his shots. Still had 11 rebounds, only the 5 shot attempts. If anyone picked him up and then drops him after this, go and grab him. This is a little bit of a poor outlier, and it's not an indication of what he will do moving forward. Rui Hachimura was great. 27 points. He played a shit ton of minutes. 43 minutes is so many. 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 61% shooting. The 2 steals are a nice bonus. The extra minutes are a nice bonus. The huge efficiency is a nice bonus. He is a 12-team league guy, along with Wagner and along with Davis Bertans, while Thomas Bryant is out. Bertans was excellent. 6 triples in the first half, ended with 25 points, 7 threes, 1 steal. Hyper-efficient. Now, he doesn't do too much else in those other areas, but his efficiency, the 3-point volume, really does give him that fantasy value. While with Isaiah Thomas being a late scratch with a calf injury, Ish Smith stepped up. 19 points and 8 assists. And this is great for Smith. But harken back to the start of the season when Isaiah Thomas wasn't playing. Were you tripping all over your dick to try and go and grab Ish Smith off waiver-wise? No, you weren't, because he wasn't that good. This is a strong performance. Thomas's injury is not severe. He might even play tomorrow. The Wizards have a back-to-back, so we don't even know that at this point. So don't go and burn waiver priority or drop a good player to add Ish based on this performance. 26-10 for Brad Beal with 4 assists. A horrible shooting night, 29% from the field, but the good free throw volume was solid. While Isaac Bonga started over Troy Brown and those guys, they did combine for 4 steals, 2 apiece, and that's really all their value is at this point. Brown's assists also are marginally valuable, but they're nowhere near 12-team guys. Although Brown rostered in 5% of leagues, he means he's available in 95% because I have a calculator, but that means that like in 16-teamers, he's around. And I think Troy Brown does have some 16-team league value, if definitely not for 12s though. The next game up, where do I start with this nonsense? The New York Knicks got smacked by the Denver Nuggets, 129-92. Let's start with the Nuggets side of things. There's not a huge fantasy takeaway from it because they were that far in front that early that everyone just got sat down. 25 minutes for Big Chungus Nikola Jokic. He had 6 points but 10 rebounds and 8 assists. Still not being aggressive enough, but you love to see the assists back. Mason Plumlee had 11-11-6 with 3 steals. Monty Morris had 15-3-6 with 3 steals and a block. But how excited can we get when they are not playing an NBA caliber team? Again, that's simply what it is. You play against the Knicks, you can do whatever you want, pretty much. Farton Wilbarton had 17-24. Gaz Harris still struggling his way through, not a 12-team guy. Millsap, 10-6 in 22 minutes. Hard to gauge what that means in the scheme of things just with this game against this opponent. The Blue Arrow, 14-3-4. Jamal Murray, 22 minutes. I guess the encouraging thing is Malik Beasley did have 14 points. But again, we just can't gain any knowledge from looking at the Nuggets side of this in a game that was as lopsided as this was. Now, the Knicks. They simultaneously have the worst coach, the worst GM, and the worst owner in the NBA. They somehow thought they were going to be good, and they are a disgrace. Fizdale is going to be fired. He's probably going to be fired by the time you listen to this. Mills and Perry should be. They won't be, but they definitely need to go. This whole organization is a disaster. These problems were evident from the beginning of the season. Fizdale, I've been telling you, is a shit coach for 3 years. I could have told Dolan or Mills or Perry that he's no good. But this roster makes no sense. It's not all on Fizdale. It isn't. He's terrible, but it's not all on him. The front office giving him terrible parts. Even if he had good parts, he'd still screw it up. But yeah, the terrible parts they're being given, the horrible ownership, everything on this team is an abject disaster. And I feel bad for Knicks fans. Knicks fans should be able to at least have something good going their way. They don't deserve this. Nobody deserves this sort of ineptitude and constant mismanaging of situations. How do you have a job at the highest level of basketball without understanding even the most basic principles of modern basketball? It doesn't make any sense. They got spanked, and Alonzo Trier, their player that's better than Luka Doncic, who was their great find last year, played 6 minutes. Why? Why are we still starting Taj Gibson? Now, Taj was fine, 4-2-2, but what does that do? Why are we giving Marcus Morris minutes? What's the point of any of this? Julius Randle was trash. He was terrible. He is not good. I've been on the Julius Randle is not good bandwagon for years and years and years, and it looked like, you know, I was ready to throw the towel in last season and say I'm wrong. He's not good. He needs to be in a very certain situation. He can never be a star or a big, big minutes guy. He just isn't capable of doing that. He is not a drop in fantasy, but man, he is bad. 6-4-4 on 2-of-9 shooting. RJ Barrett, 9-3-5. He had 3 steals and a block, so that's good. This is better than his other performances, but only 22 minutes. He was playing like 50 minutes at the start of the season. What is going on? But let's be positive, because Mitch Robinson, he played 30 minutes.
Mitch Robinson says, I'll take it from here.
His usage went up. 17 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block, 75% shooting. Mitch Robinson should not be on any waiver wires. Fizdale is going to get fired. Robinson has played almost 30 minutes in 3 of his last 5 games and a minimum of 24 minutes in 4 of his last 5 games. The minutes are coming back. Everything is going to click, and he is going to be, how bold can I get? He is going to be a top 50 guy in the fantasy playoffs. I feel pretty confident about that. So the buy low probably isn't in existence after today's game, but it might still be there. 22 minutes for Kevin Knox, cool. He's terrible. Frank Ntilikina played 24 minutes with Alfred Payton back, who played 11, and Dennis Smith, who played 18. No direction in any of those positions. Of course, Ntilikina, Payton, Smith, none of those guys are 12-team league guys. I can assure you Marcus Morris is not going to be a 12-team league guy come February. So if you can get rid of him for literally anything that's going to be a 12-team league guy, I would do it. 10 points, 2 triples for Morris in 26 minutes. Punch Bob played 27 minutes for reasons, I don't know. He's not good either. This whole team is a shit show. They are disgusting. And again, I feel bad for Knicks fans, because they deserve to see a better product than this put out there at least once in the last 5, 10, 15, 30 years, however long it's been. There's been a couple of flashes, maybe 2 years of goodness in there, but it has been disastrous. And it doesn't help when you've got the worst coach, the worst owner, and the worst GM in the NBA. Let's go on to the next game. The Houston Rockets beat the Raptors 119-109. The Raptors went all out in trying to stop James Harden. He didn't hit a three until the second half, ended with just 23-7-3, but had 5 steals and a block, 64% from the field, 6-of-6 from the line. So the Raptors, congratulations, they did a good job shutting down Harden. The Rockets still won by 10 on the road. Like, that's what happens when you devote so much of your attention and resources to stopping him. Everyone else was just able to go off. And I guess in general, it is a pretty good strategy, but this is just how good this bloke is. With Harden getting all this attention, McLemore, 28 points, 8 triples in 29 minutes. Now, he started over Danny House. House was still ill. That's why he came off the bench and why the minutes were low. McLemore has at least marginal value in, say, 14 to 16 team leagues at the moment until Eric Gordon returns. House was solid. 16 points, 3 threes in 27 minutes. I would have him in 12s over McLemore. Well, Rivers had 9, 5, and 5 in his 28 minutes. Bit of a down night for Capella. 6-13 with 2 steals and a block, but not too bad. But Russell Westbrook, he had a triple-double. Cool. 19, 13, and 11 on 26% shooting. I think we all have to have the honest conversation, and plenty of us have already had this conversation. Is he just not good anymore? Look, his contract is going to be real bad probably next year, but maybe he just isn't an actual positive. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but maybe he just isn't an actual good upper-level player. It's not great at the moment. That field goal percentage is absolutely rough. For the Raptors, Kyle Lowry, so much for Nick Nurse and getting the minutes down. 42 minutes for Lowry, 19, 5, and 8 with 3 threes. Fred VanVleet, 38 minutes, 26-5 with 3 steals and a block. I still remain worried. Those minutes are ridiculous. Pascal Siakam, 24-9 with 2 steals and a block. His efficiency is hurting at the moment. Marc Gasol, just an absolute weird-ass line there. 5.6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals and 2 blocks. Big minutes again for Gasol. Ibaka hasn't really played many minutes since returning. Gasol's not taking any shots. He's providing value right across the box score, and that can be useful, but I just don't see it lasting for a 12-team scenario. While the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
I think he's gone in 10s. 24 minutes, 9-4-4. The hot shooting at the start of the season has cooled off. He's losing minutes to Norm Powell. If there is someone, it's a Rui, a Bertans, a Wagner in a 12, I'd be okay, I think, dropping Anunoby in that situation as well. As for Stormer Norman, 14 points in 25 minutes. He is not a 12-team league guy as we move forward. And then the last game of the night, an overtime game, the Suns. They get the victory over the Pelicans, 139-132. Devin Booker, whose usage had been down quite a bit, really stepped it up here. 44-8-9 with 2 steals. Elite efficiency, 13 of 13 from the line. While ravishing Rick Rubio had 42 minutes as well. 13-6-15 with 4 steals. Cam Johnson outplayed Dario Saric, 18 points with 4 triples for Cam. He's got that interesting 3-point stream ability. While Oubre had 14-15 with a monster defensive numbers, 3 steals, 4 blocks, but also Russell Westbrook-esque, 29% from the field and 33% from the line. He is one of the most variable players, it seems, this season. Frank the Tank had 20-6 in his 33 minutes, but went Baines comes back, and then Ayton comes back. He has absolutely no relevance at all. While McCall Bridges only the 22 minutes here. Interestingly, Ty Jerome, who's been playing really well, only 9 minutes here. They went with a lot more of, say, Booker point guard lineups. They just didn't see much of the backup point guards at all, really. And obviously, huge minutes for Rubio helps that too. Saric was bad, 9-3 in 26 minutes. He did foul out, so that's part of those low minutes. I just don't see him as a long-term 12-team league option. Chuck Diallo's revenge game, he had 8-4 in 11 minutes. On to the Pelicans. This is why I've liked Lonzo Ball as a fantasy guy, if the minutes can stick and he can play good basketball. And he did. 20 points in 43 minutes, 4 triples, 6 rebounds, 11 assists, 3 steals and 2 blocks. Good shooting numbers, 4 of 4 from the line. Look, he'd been not great in some of the games since coming back from injury. There's questions about some of his shot selection, but when things are rolling, he's going to put up numbers, and that's why we like him. Holiday had 23-7-6 with 5 steals, and Redick knocked in 5 triples for 26 points. Big scoring numbers. 4 starters scored over 20, and the other one who didn't, Jackson Hayes, had 17-5 with 5 blocks. Now, Favors' return is going to have somewhat of an impact on Hayes. He's probably more of a 14-16 team league guy, but he is clearly ahead of Okafor, who did not even play in this game. Kenny Williams returned, came off the bench, 6-4 in 25 minutes. While Ingram only played 30 minutes, he did have to go to the locker room for a laceration and get stitches, so that's why only the 30 minutes. He had 21-6 on 60% shooting, and another massive load from the line, 7 of 7.
Giggity!
His free throw attempt rate, his free throw percentage is massive at the moment. Good numbers from him. While Nikhil Alexander-Walker was pretty solid in this one, but still only the 11 minutes. Well, Josh the Hitman Hart is rostered in way too many leagues. He's rostered in 48% of Yahoo leagues. I see many people asking me questions about him in 12-teamers. He is not a 12-team league guy. I cannot stress that enough. There are much better options that you can find, and streaming his roster spot in a 12-team league is going to get you significantly better results. Let's look at some injury news now. Jordy McRae has a finger issue. He's going to be out at least 2 weeks. He had to have surgery to remove his pin. That does open up minutes there for the Wizards because he was getting about 20 a night. CJ Miles is out pretty much for the whole season with a wrist injury. So guys like Admiral Schofield in really deep leagues, but it does help Bonga and Brown get that extra run there as well. And maybe some more Ish Smith and Isaiah Thomas combination type lineups. We'll see. For Washington, Marvin Bagley is rejoining the team on Friday in San Antonio. He's unlikely to play in that game, but his return is imminent. So if you want to trade away your Nemanja Bjelica's, now is the time to get that cracking. And if Bagley, for some reason, is on your wire, you add him absolutely 100% immediately. Bogdan Bogdanovic is still on the injury report for the Kings with that knee contusion, while Corey Joseph cropped up today with a back issue. So if he is out, Yogi Kevin Ferrell is going to be the guy who steps up into that spot and gets a lot of those minutes at point guard for the Kings. Terry Ferguson dealing with a hip issue, he is going to be out for the Thunder on Friday. And then we looked into news about Zion Williamson. We already talked about he's probably going to be outside that 8-week timetable. And the news came in, they're going to ramp him up slowly. He's going to miss back-to-backs at the beginning of the season, or his season. Not that that's a surprise to anybody, but I thought it would be worth mentioning. Let's look at some DFS action now. We're going to be looking at DraftKings pricing for Friday with all 10 games on. All right, first game up is the Indiana Pacers going to take on the Detroit Pistons. No spread out for this one at this point. I guess they really deem Luke Kennard exceptionally valuable, and they haven't put it out. He missed the last game with knee soreness. It is likely he returns there for this game. At point guard, Malcolm Brogdon, we're looking at 7,300. I think you have to like Brogdon at that price. He's averaging 37 over the last five in a relatively neutral matchup. Not a bad one here for Brogo. You've got Derrick Rose at 5,400. I think this game might stay close. The defense of the Pacers is a worry, but I think Rose can at least give you cash value. In fact, Rose's lowest score over his last five has been 26. So he looks okay in this spot. TJ McConnell, Aaron Holiday, Bruce Brown, Langston Galloway. Look, Galloway at 4,100 has some value if Kennard is out. But even last game, he played 38 minutes and still just had 25 points. He is a very low points per minute player. At that shooting guard, the Duck is at 5,800. I'm not super into him. Well, Jeremy Lamb at 61, probably also a little bit too highly priced there. Justin Holiday, Tone Snell, nah. At small forward, Tony Warren Jr. is at 56. I do like that. He's a 30-point guy at the moment. He's scoring pretty well. For the $5,600 price tag, he looks okay. And then for the big man, Blake Griffin's at $6,700. Now, Griffo isn't getting everything going at the same level that we want him to. He did have 34 points last game. He has torched the Pacers the last three times, averaging 48 points. I would only feel comfortable at him with a tournament spot. Drummond's at $9,400. He is racking up the defensive numbers. I do like him here. And Sabonis at $7,800, also a really strong cash option. Miles Turner is down at $5,700, which at least piques my interest, but only for tournaments. And even then, I'm not super keen on him. Markieff Morris, of course, on the opposite of super keen on. Next game up for us to look at, we've got the Brooklyn Nets and the Charlotte Hornets. The Nets are 2.5-point favorites. Kyrie is out. The total is 217.5 points. At point guard, Devontae Graham, 8,300. This guy is unbelievable at the moment. He's giving 40s a night relatively regularly. I love his value in a really, really strong matchup. While Spencer Dinwiddie's at 8-2, strong matchup for him as well. Spencer's giving us 40 a night. Usage up, minutes up. Love both of these guys in this spot. Not much else to look at there as a point guard with Theo Pinson or Malik Monk. Terry Rozier at 7,100. Rozier, despite the criticisms that I have leveled at him, when he plays alongside Graham, his shooting percentages go up, his assist numbers go down, but his effective field goal percentage does rise pretty significantly. So at 7,100, I do think he can be at least a 33, 34 point sort of a guy. So he's in play without being the best option. Garrett Temple's at 5,800. That's a lot for Garrett Temple. The reason he's that high is because he's been that good. He's averaging 30 over the last five. I have zero confidence in Garrett Temple at that number, and I'm not sure his ceiling is high enough. While Smoke and Joe Harris at 57, really just a tournament guy, but even then, not massive on to him. Batum, Nwaba, Bacon, no thank you. Small forward Miles Bridges is at 5,100. He is disappointing over the last three games. Minutes were well down for some reason last game. A tournament, maybe. Well, the artist formerly known as Torian Prince is up to 6,500. He is wildly inconsistent. That's a $700 price rise. Now, the only reason I like Prince here is because the matchup is a really strong one against power forwards. So he is at least a GPP guy, but that salary rise is not interesting. While Marvin Williams, hard to get excited there. At the center spot, we know centers against the Hornets is always a great option. So you could throw DeAndre Jordan into a tournament. I wouldn't get too interested in that. I would be much more interested in Jared Allen if his salary hadn't risen up to 7,200. But with how he's playing, I actually think he can get close to that level. He's not the best option on the board, but at least this matchup does really suit. Biyombo and Zala, they look like they're splitting minutes. I'm not keen on them. While Paul Washington Jr. is at 5,000, he is struggling to a pretty decent degree. He can have the occasional 30-35 pointer, but I'm not relying on it. So yeah, overall, I'm not super keen on Washington in this matchup. Next game up, the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Magic are 3.5-point favorites. The total is 212.5. Guards love playing against the Cavs. Not only do they have terrible defenders in Sexton and Garland out there, but they've got no paint or rim protection either, so guards tend to be able to drive a lot more. That should suit someone like Markel Fultz pretty significantly. Tristan Thompson has popped up on the injury report, listed probable with an illness, while Mick Carter-Williams missed last game with a nasal issue. He is questionable. For this one, of course, Vucevic is out. At point guard, Darius Garland's at 4,100. I don't know how you can have any interest in him at all. While Colin Sexton, I do like. 5,400 for Sexo, massively strong floor, pretty decent ceiling. He should be a 30-point guy most nights, and at that salary, you love it. Fultz at 56. He is averaging almost 30 a game over his last five. Now he gets to play against the Cavs, which is always a great option. So both Fultz and Sexton look pretty good in this one. DJ Augustin at 48, better guys out there. At shooting guard, Jordy Clarkson is all the way down at 3,900. He can have those weird 30-point games. That puts him at least in the tournament mix, but nothing more than that. While Fournier is killing it, he's at 6,600. I reckon it might be fade time here for Fournier, but his lowest score in his last five has been 31, and fading guards against the Cavs is always, it's not always a great strategy given how bad they are, so maybe you could look at Fournier. At least feel okay about his cash for your tournament, not so sure. Terry Ross at 53 is pretty much always just a tournament guy with his propensity to pop or to poop. At small forward, John Isaac, 6,400. Not really getting it done for me at that level, so that's a no. Osman's a no. Aaron Gordon on fire. He is all the way up to 6,900.
Giggity.
Because he didn't miss a shot pretty much last game and dropped in 50. I am not banking on a 35-point as Gordon performance, so you can have him. And then the big man, Kevin Love's at 6,800. Well, if the game stays close, then he'll beat it. If it doesn't, he won't. I have zero faith in Love here. Thompson at 63, cash, and that's it. No tournament upside. And then you go to guys like Kem Birch and Mo Bamba.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I think Bamba's worth looking at 4,700. He dropped 35 last game in under 20 minutes. Looked a lot better. Again, centers against the Cavs, a great opportunity. Bamba is an interesting GPP guy. Birch is a pretty low upside player who comes in at 5,100, which I think is probably a little bit too high. Next game, we are looking at the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder are 2.5-point favorites, and the total is 221. Andy Wiggins has popped up on the injury report. He is questionable with a thumb injury, while Karl Anthony Towns is probable with a knee issue. Shabazz Napier, still that hamstring, man. He's been playing, but he has reappeared on the injury report as probable. I imagine that Josh Okogie will get another start. Jake Layman is out, so Okogie likely to start at small forward. At point guard, both Chris Paul and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are listed at 6,300. And point guards and shooting guards, they do get a boost going up against this Minnesota Timberwolves team. So despite their recent not great level of production, I think that they are both in play here. I wouldn't want to use both Shai and Chris Paul in the one lineup, but I think at the depressed prices that they're at, we have to have a look at them and consider them solid options. Schroeder's at 57, similarly. I think he's actually, at that lower price, has a little bit more floor value than what Paul and Gilgeous-Alexander do. Teague's at 5,200.
My name is Jeff.
His shots just aren't going in. If they do fall, then he could very easily beat that number because it is coming down quite a bit. I'm not massively confident in it. While Jarrett Culver at 51, I actually like Culver here. He is putting up strong numbers. He's getting more minutes. He's taking more shots. His usage is up in the starting lineup, weirdly. So I think Culver at that price is worth looking at. For your shooting guards, Josh Okogie's at 37, maybe for a tournament just because he's starting, but he's not really a big scorer. Terry Ferguson is not, of course, a big scorer at all. While Andy Wiggins is at 75, I like Wiggins quite a bit, assuming he plays with that thumb issue. Now, if Wiggins is out, you're going to get a lot more Okogie, and you're going to get a lot more Culver, and you're probably going to get more Bates, Diop, and Graham there, but Okogie and Culver will be the big beneficiaries if Wiggins happens to be out. At small forward, the Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari.
Hands off my cock!
He is at 6,400. He is consistently giving us 30s. I don't know if 30 is enough. Actually, I do know 30 isn't enough at 6,400. Is his upside actually high enough to get to the level that we need him to? I'm not really certain on him at that sort of a salary. He is okay, but it's not the best one out there. While Bob Covington's at 56. He beat that number last time. Now, if Wiggins is out, I do like Covington quite a bit. There's some significant upside value in him at that salary, which is the 5,600. Bazley, Bates Diop, Cater at 4,000. Maybe he did have a 31-point game not long ago. That's really going to be, though, if Wiggins is out. At center, Karl Anthony Towns, 10-4. Love him. He gets you 50 a night. That's absolutely fantastic. Noel at 41. Not interested. Steve Adams, 6,300. Adams is cranking at the moment. He's averaging 35 over his last five. He's not doing it in big minutes. And I don't think he's getting 30 minutes a night. So that takes a little bit away from Adams here. But the matchup does skew towards the positive going up against Towns and the Wolves. So at least we have to consider Adams considering this run. But it is fueled by some highly unsustainable field goal shooting that we've seen from Steve during this time. Next up is the Washington Wizards and the Miami Heat. The Wizards on a back-to-back with one of the worst defenses in the NBA. We're looking at a Heat team that is without Goran Dragic. We have Justice Winslow that's popped up on the injury report. He is questionable. For the Wizards, we don't know if Isaiah Thomas is going to play. He did not play on Thursday. If he is out, then we get a lot more value for Ish Smith, and then shots go around to other guys like Davis Bertans, as we saw on Thursday. You've got Rui gets more shots. Flaming Mo Wagner gets more shots. So there is some value trickle down in that situation at point guard here. If Winslow is out, of course, for Miami, Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, they all get big boosts for guys that have dropped off pretty significantly lately. Winslow's at 5,500. I actually like him quite a bit if he does happen to play, just because of the Wizards' defense. While Nunn's at 4,800, he would be a really strong option if Winslow is ruled out. Ish is at 3,600. We have to love. If Isaiah is out, that is great value, and he becomes a must-roster guy. He killed it on Thursday. He killed that value on Thursday with Thomas sidelined. At shooting guard, Jim Butler is at 8,100.
Because he's my butler.
He is giving us big, big numbers. I love him against this defense. Should kill it. While Brad Beal, 8,600. Now, Beal is on a back-to-back, but I still think that he can give you, he's going to play minutes. We know that they're not going to be cautious with his playing time, so there's going to be a lot coming there for Beal. Troy Brown is not interesting. Dunk Robinson at 46. I'd like him at 4,000. 46 feels a little bit high, but the Spur is putting up some pretty good numbers, averaging 25 over his last five. I'm just not sure the upside is great. At small forward, you've got Bertans at 57. Absolutely love what he's doing, and it gets further boosted if Thomas is out. So I think Davis is a great, great play at that salary. Well, Isaac Bonga is doing not a lot. For the big men, Jordan McRae is out for the Wizards too. So guys like Bonga, Admiral Schofield, these guys could jump in. I don't think they're really high scoring type options, so I'm not getting super excited about them. For the bigs, Flaming Mo Wagner's at 5,000. Yep, happy to go back on with him. Myers Leonard, no thanks. Bam Bam's at 7,500. What a great matchup this is going up against this Wizards defense. So I do think Bam can be at least minimum 35 point guy here. Olynyk at 46, he's impossible to trust, but we've seen some more consistency from Kelly recently. I'm not ready to get excited there. While Hachimura at 57, boosted, I guess, by Thomas being out, or if Thomas is out, we'll see some more scoring come from Rui in this one. Chrissy Silva, Yan Mihinmi, I don't think we need to get too interested in either of those blokes. Next game, the Denver Nuggets and the Boston Celtics, another team on a back-to-back. The Nuggets here travel into Boston. They are, the Celtics in that is, are favored by 3.5 points, and the total is a very, very low 203. Denver, one of the slowest teams in the NBA. And on a back-to-back here, that is a really low total. Marcus Smart missed last game for Boston. He is listed as questionable here. If he is out, we saw Semi Ojeleye get some minutes. We saw Grant Williams get a boost as well. It could be someone like Brad Wanamaker that steps up. But really, Jalen, Jason, and Kemba are going to be the guys that absorb most of that and have to do a whole bunch of stuff to make up for Smart being out. Now, if Smart does play, he's at 5,600. His numbers prior to this game hadn't really been great, so I don't necessarily love him. I do love Jamal Murray at 6,400. Yes, it is a back-to-back, but I like the 6,400 for Jamal. Kemba at 78, I'll be in on that, especially if Marcus is out. That would really help Kemba. And Monty Morris, no interest. Fartin Will Barton at 61, maybe for tournaments. I'm not looking at him as a must-roster type of a guy. Wanamaker, again, at 4,000, we get a little bit of value for him if Smart is out. For the shooting guards, Brown is at 6,800. He dropped 42 last time out. If Marcus Smart is out, then I think Brown at 68 is a really, really strong play. Gaz Harris at 43. Nice, Gary! Pretty tough to rely upon him at this point, while Tatum's at 76, and I love Tatum, especially if Smart is out. Some really good value there with him. Williams and Ojeleye, even if Smart is out, I'm not getting involved in them. Big Chungus, Nikola Jokic down to $8,000. The matchup is somewhat of a negative for Jokic here. I think we still have to consider using him despite some of his recent struggles. At $8,000, he is okay to use. Grant at 36, no thanks. Enes Kanter, Daniel Tice, Mason Plumlee, Paul Millsap. So much uncertainty with all those groups of bigs that outside of Jokic, and even then I don't feel super comfortable with Jokic, but outside of Jokic, those other guys are pretty tough to rely upon. Next game is the Golden State Warriors and the Chicago Bulls, the Jordan Bell Bowl. The Bulls are 5-point favorites. Yes, that is what world we're living in. The total is 212.5. Chandler Hutchison is questionable. If he is out, I still think actually Chris Dunn might start anyway. And leave Hutchison on the bench. Hutchison is not good. For the Warriors, D'Angelo Russell has popped up on the injury report as probable. Their rotation continues to be ridiculous. Jacob Evans has been ruled out. He's potential to come back. Anyone going up against the Warriors gives you an opportunity. So Coby White at 4,800. He has been just abysmal. 15-point average over the last five, but a great opportunity against a terrible team defense, especially defending point guards. That does give White that opportunity, but you have no ability to be able to trust him. The shot is questionable. I think that's a fair way of stating it. And look, he can go off. He can drop you a 35, or he can do absolutely nothing. And that's the risk you run with Coby White. I think it helps a little bit for him if Hutchison is out, because it means Dunn pushes more up to the small forward position, giving more minutes at backup point guard and shooting guard for Coby, who has played almost exclusively shooting guard this year. Levine is rolling. He's at 7,800. No reason the Warriors are going to slow him down. I like him. Well, Satoransky also rolling. The minutes are up for Thomas. He is giving us 32 a night over the last five. Is that enough at 6,000, which is an $800 price rise? Probably not. Alec Burks at 55. His inconsistency is a problem, and how he fits in on a bench role with D'Angelo back is still questionable, so maybe for tournaments. Well, Russell at 7,900. The minutes limit here, we don't know if it's going to be in play. I would assume it is to some degree, and the Bulls have been really, really good at defending point guards. I will fade Russell off there. Dunn, Archer Jackano, Kai Bowman, the lubricant, hard to use those guys. At shooting guard, the Little Dogs at 4,500, Glenn Robinson. Russell back really does hamper him. I think so. I don't think we need to get too excited about Glenn Robinson the third. And then on to some small forwards. The triangle, Eric Paschal's at 62. I just really worry about this bloke's inability to contribute outside of scoring. And if Russell has a night where he gets it going, then there just isn't going to be that usage happening for Paschal. So I'm not super into him at 6,200. I do think that there are better guys out there. He's not a super lock to me. Thad Young is he's not good at this point in terms of production. At center, Kevon Looney, no way to trust those minutes. Well, Wendell Carter's at 66. Carter's putting up big numbers. The Warriors, though, have been pretty good at limiting opposition centers so far this season. So that is something interesting to pay attention to. Markkanen's at 5,900. Not ready to get back on him. That is a $300 price rise, which steers me clear. The low minutes for Cauley Stein gets me completely uninterested in using him. He's been at under 20 the last two games. The Clippers and the Bucks, Kawhi Leonard and Giannis Antetokounmpo, assuming that Kawhi is playing. We've got no reason to assume that he isn't. The Bucks are 3.5-point favorites. The total is 232. Is this the game that we actually get the Bucks guys to play more minutes? Can we get 30 minutes of Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe and 34 of Giannis, 28, 29 of Lopez? I think we can. Or are they just going to go on and smack another team by 20? I doubt it, because it is the Clippers, but this is one where it is a lot more interesting. A high total, a low spread. Everything looks to be in line for a pretty good matchup. Jermichael Green missed the last game with a tailbone issue. So if he is out, you're going to get guys like Patty Patterson stepping up. At point guard, now a lot of these Bucks salaries have been depressed by the fact that they're just smacking teams by 30 and 40 points. So Bledsoe at 6,200, if he plays his 30 minutes, then that's a 35, 36 type point performance. I like him quite a bit here, despite the good defense the Clippers do have. Patty Beverly at 48, not that interested there. Lou Williams at 64. Numbers have been down. 27-point average over the last three. Again, how he fits with Paul George and Kawhi, still being figured out. I'm not super in on him. George Hill, no thank you. DiVincenzo also, no thanks. At shooting guard, Middleton's at 63. Again, the salary's down. The numbers, or his salary's actually up, but it's still not that high. He can be a $7,000, $7,500 guy. I like Middleton here in this one. While the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard.
I'm a fun guy.
His shooting is not great at the moment. He is not shooting a good three-ball percentage. I think he's at 31%. I think it's actually below Yanni's three-point percentage. 8,400. I reckon we might find better ways to spend that money. He's not a terrible option, though. Wes Matthews is a terrible option. And then you go on to your small forwards. Jermichael Green, I don't really see the love there with him. Paul George at 78. I'd much prefer Paul George at that sort of a salary than I would with that guy that I just mentioned before, and I don't actually remember his name. Who was I just talking about? Oh, Kawhi Leonard. That's exactly him. We've also got Mo Harkless there, who's not really too much of an option. For the big men, you've got Brooke Lopez at 52. Been a little bit down the last few games, but I do think that more minutes are going to come his way here. This should be a 30-plus type night for Lopez, so I like him quite a bit. Zubats, no thank you. While the table Montrezl Harrell, 6,500, he has been absolutely rolling. And centers have had a pretty good go of things against the Bucks this season. He is averaging 37 the last last three. At 6,500, there is good value there in Harrell, Ilyasova, Robin Lopez. Hard to get too interested in any of those guys. Next game up, the San Antonio Spurs and the Sacramento Kings. A lot of injury stuff in this one. Corey Joseph being a late addition to the injury report. He is questionable. Bogdan Bogdanovic is questionable with his knee contusion. While Marvin Bagley is going to rejoin the team, but he is doubtful to play. I think we look at Bagley's return coming the game after. While for the Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge is questionable. Now, what the Spurs do with these lineups is really interesting. We saw huge minutes from Lonnie Walker and Jakob Poeltl last game, and they played really well. Will we see Walker in the lineup over Bellinelli? I am 100% confident we will. Will he be getting 28 minutes a night? I'm not so sure, but he is at least someone to pay attention to after how well he played in that Houston victory over Houston that maybe is not going to be a victory. We still don't know the protest result over there. At point guard, DeJounte Murray's at 46. I have no interest in using him. While Joseph at 48, not really a good DFS option, but if he is out, putting Yogi Ferrell into your GPPs is very, very interesting indeed. Maybe even a Kyle Guy. Probably not, but Yogi Ferrell would be a great option in that scenario. Maximum Derek White.
Maximum Derek.
It looks like they are trying to get more out of White offensively, but I'm still not ready to use him at this point. While Forbes at 47 was great last game, I'm not willing to trust him nor with Patty Mills. Ferrell, just to mention, he is 3,600 over on DraftKings. DeRozan's at 7,400. Really like the floor value of DeMar at that salary. While Bogdanovic at 54, I'm just worried about the knee and the hammy. That's hard to get excited about. While Hield at 76, love Hield. If Bogdanovic is out, that is an absolute smash play. While Walker had 42 points last game, he's at 4,100. I don't think we can get too excited about Lonnie because we just don't know how the minutes are going to roll out. But as a GPP guy, sure, at that low of a price. Minimum salary, Justin James as well. He had a 24-point game not that long ago. If Bogdanovic is out, if Joseph is out, they are going to be really down on guard. So James at 3,000, maybe he gets you 20, maybe. Small forward, the pencil, Harrison Barnes. Barnesy. Barnesy was pretty disappointing last game, but at 5,600, especially if Bogdan is out, there is some real value in using him at that sort of a salary. You got Rudy Gay at 55, who I'm as uninterested in as possible, while Trevor Ariza at 33. Now, if Bogdanovic is out, Ariza's going to play, and he had 27 points in 33 minutes last game, and at 3,300, as much as I shit on Ariza, you can't go past that value. That is really, really strong value there for him. For the bigs, Aldridge is at 7,000, and if he plays, I absolutely love it. We just don't know whether he's going to play, but I would love that if he did. Of course, if he is out, you got Jakob Poeltl at 58, who's a pretty decent value option. Now, he dropped 43 against the Rockets. That's hard to expect that out of him, but he could be okay. While Rishon Holmesy-Holmes at 68 is crushing it at the moment, and no reason to think that that's really going to cease here. So I do like him. While Bielitsa at 63 gets a reprieve with Bagley out again, he should be a 30-point-ish type of a guy. So Bielitsa's in play. Not a lock, but absolutely an in-play option. The last game of the day that we look at, we've got the Lakers and the Blazers. The Blazers, let's try again. The Lakers are 3.5-point favorites. The total is 221. Gary Trent Jr. is listed as questionable with his hamstring. He is only a very, very limited minutes guy anyway. At point guard, Lillard's at 8,500. Good defense, but this is still pretty good, strong price for Lillard, so I do like him quite a bit. While LeBron James at 10-1.
LeBron James.
He's giving us 50 over the last five. I think he's a pretty safe cash play at that salary. McCollum at 74 is putting up some good numbers. But even on the nights where he has these big ones, like last game was great, he had 56, but he's still averaging only 37 over the last five. So I'm not super into him here, especially in this matchup. Simons, Caruso, no. Rondo's up at 5,300, and Rondo is giving us these numbers. This value is there. He dropped 49 last game. I am not ready to trust him at that sort of a salary. For the Lakers, I should have mentioned Anthony Davis and Kyle Kuzma, the future MVP, are both listed as probable. Speaking of Kuzma, he's at 4,200. He really got it done last game with defensive numbers to give 29 points. It's a positive matchup for Kuz. He is just a GPP option, though. Howard, do we go to Howard yet? No, let's talk about KCP and Danny Green. Just enough for me to say no, don't use them. Rocket Rodney Hood is at 4,300, only for tournaments, and even then, I'm not super excited about using Hood. Let's go to the big men. Howard's at 42. We've seen plenty of big men put up good numbers against the Blazers. I'm not excited about him. I am excited about Davis at 9,600. Sub 10,000, Anthony Davis is a very, very good price in a great matchup. McGee, no thank you. Well, Hassan Whiteside.
The world.
fair play to this bloke. He's putting up huge numbers, 45 average over the last five. Now, centers have been a real issue in terms of being able to produce against the Lakers, one of the hardest teams to go up against, but at 7,700, Whiteside is doing it. He's putting up numbers. This is going to be a real test, so there's an element of caution associated with Whiteside here, but he's at least in play. While Mallow at 5,800, again, the defensive concerns. He struggled in that game against the Clippers. Against shit defenses, he goes off. This is a worry. Only looking at GPPs, I think, for Carmelo Anthony here in this game. Let's flick it and have a look at some values on FanDuel. Lonnie Walker at 36, that's a great option. Brooke Lopez, Gildas Alexander, especially with Terrence Ferguson, who when I did the Thunder preview before Ferguson hadn't popped up on the injury report, he is there now and he will not play. So Schroeder, Gildas Alexander, Abdul Nadir, the Italian Coctanilla Gallinari, they all get a bump. Bam Adebayo I like on FanDuel, Jimmy Butler, Flaming Mo Wagner, Dennis Schroeder, Kelly Olynyk, Yanni, Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, Kobe White, as I mentioned earlier, Josh Okogie, confirmed starter for the Timberwolves at 3,800 on FanDuel, Nunn, Towns, Drummond, some pretty good options over there as well. That'll do it for me for this week. I'll be back. The next show will be a week 8, I think it is. We're coming back into the playoffs. Sorry, try again. Week 8 was a comeback for a preview next week. So don't forget to check that out. And the best way to make sure you never miss an episode is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. Subscribe over there. And of course on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell as well so you never miss a show. Leave a comment down below. Share it with your friends. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Abdul Nadir.